Line Friday! Goody, goody gumdrops, ladies and gentlemen. Open Line Friday. This is where allowing the content of this end of this program gets turned over to you. Rank, lovable rank, as I, your highly trained broadcast specialist, sit by and marvel at your content.
Once again, thank you very much for that, Rush. I do appreciate it. It is Free Speech Thursday, as I've been telling you. I am off tomorrow and Monday and Tuesday, so today is Free Speech Thursday. But at least for this first segment or two, I'll be interviewing Dr. Gary Wolfram, the esteemed holder of the William E. Simon Chair of Economics at Hillsdale College, top economist there, top dog, and we'll ask him, why shouldn't we believe anything he or his colleagues have to say? Now, I asked you, right before we go to Dr. Wolfram, I posed a question to you. I was telling you about this former Michigan State Supreme Court Justice Bob Young. And I like a lot of what he says in this lengthy article in the Detroit News I read about him. And it was interesting. He has an interesting background and what he wants to do and his thoughts. And certainly I'd like to dive deeper into it with him. And we will probably get a chance to speak to him since he's running for U.S. Senate. Now, I told you right before, the Michigan Democratic Party chairman, Brandon Dillon, blasted Young's judicial record, suggesting he has what? And I asked you all, what do you think they're going to bring out? Well, the same old tired stuff they always do. They can't they refresh, freshen up their attacks a little bit? They said he has, quote, sided with insurance companies. He has sided with polluters and other special interest, end quote, during his time on the bench. I could have written that without actually even seeing it. And now I want to welcome one of my favorite guests, as I said, to the show. Someone who is, I guess, I don't know if we should actually listen to you anymore or not. Dr. Wolfram, welcome to the Live with Rank show.
Well, thanks for having me.
Well, as you know, I sent you this article the other day and asked you if you'd like to come and speak to it because Stephen Moore, which I think you've told me in the past, you either know him professionally or are friends with him or something like that?
Yes, I've known Stephen for years, yeah.
For years. Well, he's asking the question why we or any of us should listen to people like you because you're one of them, right? You're an economist, right?
He was. You know, I think it's interesting to what he says, but he's really talking about macroeconomics, not really talking about microeconomics.
Oh, that's how you're going to slide out of this, huh?
Well, the thing is that, you know, when Keynes began to dominate, there was no macroeconomics before Keynes.
Well, hold on. Before we go there, for people who maybe just jumped in, Stephen Moore wrote an article the other day, and it really was in response to 6 years under Barack Obama that the economists, quote-unquote, overestimated the economic growth in his due to his policies and the Democrat Party's policies by 80%. And as I said to you guys earlier, I don't these guys aren't going to hit it on the button, but 80% average over 6 years is a little much. That's a little too much. And then he asked the question in his article, why does anyone bother to listen to economists anymore? The profession has become an embarrassment, and the most respected economists have shown themselves to have as much predictive power on where we are headed as the gypsies who read tarot cards. And that's why I asked the esteemed economist, Stephen Moore. No, you're not Stephen Moore. You're Gary Wolfram,
yeah.
Right?
I'm better looking than Stephen.
You're better. Well, yeah, I noticed. I asked Gary to send me a picture, a new updated picture of himself. And he sent me one from you were in college in track.
Yeah.
I should have put that one. If I could have easily identified which one you were, thus my listeners, I would have probably put that one out there.
Well, I'm the one with the UC Santa Barbara jersey on.
Is that the one with the lighter color jersey?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Actually, I have that jersey hanging in my office right now.
Do you? Let me ask you a question. When you were in track in college, did you actually shave your legs back then?
No, they don't, I did not.
They don't do
I
that. Did not. You didn't want that extra tenth of a second.
No, I was a distance runner, so it wasn't going to make that much difference.
All right. So you explained, he's talking about, he being Stephen Moore, macroeconomics. Please explain to my listeners what's macro and what's microeconomics.
Okay, good question. As I said, prior to Keynes and the Great Depression, economics looked at individual markets and said, okay, things like, well, if you increase the price of applesauce, then people will buy less applesauce. It, you know, basically demand curves slope down. Then if you increase the price of applesauce, more people will produce them. And, you know, things like that. And so there is quite a consensus on this. But what happened was the idea that somehow the market system would lead to disruptions and lead to depressions and the like came about. This idea came about with Keynes saying that here's what happened. Why did the Great Depression happen? It happened because there wasn't enough overall spending, and we could somehow estimate what was going to happen to the economy as a whole. And that led to basically a belief that if you thought government should come in and fix things, and that you shouldn't rely on the markets because it, you know, it could lead to all sorts of problems, then this fit you to a T. This is what you like to hear, if that was your philosophy. And actually, Milton Friedman talked about this. You know, he basically said, look, if you can find people agreeing with this macroeconomic idea that the government can somehow make the economy better by its own actions, and what you'll find is that people who want to have lots of government action, if that's what they believe in, they will start to accept this theory because it basically justifies their point of view. But if you look at let's say the minimum wage.
Hold on, Gary, Dr. Wolfram. So that's macro. What's micro?
That's macro. Yep. And what, micro now, would right. say, okay, people respond to incentives. That's sort of the basic idea of microeconomics. And says, okay, if it's more costly to make hot dogs, then people will produce fewer hot dogs. They'll be less willing to produce them at any particular price. And so there is almost no disarray or no lack of consensus along these ideas. But on the macro piece, here's what you get. You get Nobel Prize winner Paul Krugman saying, if we just increase government spending enough, then we'll get out of the recession and the economy will grow at 3%. Okay? And then you get another Nobel Prize winner, Vernon Smith, saying that's a bunch of hokum. The markets themselves are not the problem. The problem is that government interference is causing all this uncertainty and all sorts of problems. So you have Nobel Prize winners on either side. Well, there was a paper in 1996 by Gregory Mankiw, National Bureau of Economic Research paper. It was titled Macroeconomics in Disarray. And he was basically saying, look, there's no consensus on this stuff. People that want to believe that the government should interfere with things are going to build models to justify that interference.
All right, if you can hold on, I got to go to break, Gary. So that's on the line with me is Dr. Gary Wolfram, and we'll come back with I love these explanations and actually refresher courses on economics we're taking. You're listening to Live with Rank.
95.3 WBCK.